When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, it's the Great and Powerful Mr. E here. And just to let you know, we're taking our season break, but we don't want this stuff to stop for you so you can keep enjoying content. So what we decided to do is release a couple Patreon episodes. We let our Patreon members pick. The Patreon group's a really cool group. We have a lot of fun with those guys and gals from all around the world. There's a Discord page associated with that that comes with the Patreon tiers. You know, plus, you know, custom merch, limited t-shirts, you know, gift cards, all that stuff comes with our Patreon. So we're going to release a couple Patreon episodes this week that they picked. They got to vote and pick which ones you guys get to hear. So please enjoy this, and we hope to see you guys in season six. Bye. I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But they love eating people. They love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. I've seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree.
Welcome back, Patreon.
Real serious.
I'm the great and powerful Mr. Well, okay, I wanted you to get me a beer and you said no.
Oh.
It's 10:30 in the morning. Yeah. But hey, guys.
Hey guys, it's
10:30. All the audio listeners for Patreon have no idea what's happening. This is our first test of doing the video podcasting also. So it'll be also available. We'll do our normal audio for everybody.
Yeah.
Because that still goes out to Spotify, because I know a lot of you guys use Spotify in connection to the Patreon app. But there'll also be the videos available if you want them. We are discussing adding more of this video content. It'll get better. We have it kind of set up on our little tripod right now. We'll figure out how we want to do this and stuff like that. It's just kind of the test day to kind of see some things. But the plan is that we're going to record all the Wednesday episodes, or the Tuesday episodes for you. As of now, we're just going to record. It's hard because it's a lot. Well, we're going to record everything and just kind of see how it goes. But the ones I really want to post on YouTube are going to be the interviews.
Yeah.
So people can start breaking the presentations if they want.
That's a good idea.
And then I'm only going to do, because you guys were saying, like, we'd love to see some of the pictures and stuff talk about. I have to make a slideshow for then every episode. So I'm only going to do that for the Patreon episodes.
So you get this little treat here.
Yeah, you get a treat. So if you guys want, you can see the pictures I'm talking about. This one is Chernobyl Part 2. We only have two pictures.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you go and run and get me a lemonade?
I'm not getting you a lemonade.
Pretty please?
Nope. I'm not doing it. It's too early. It's too early.
I want one.
Well, you can't always get what you want.
I got you coffee and breakfast today.
You can't.
Come on.
We're not getting a beer at 10:30 in the morning. We got a long day.
So?
I'm not, what's the word? Enabling this.
Screw you. I want a beer.
Yeah, I can see the gears slowly
grinding.
I'll
restart this whole episode.
Don't do it. We got video.
Yeah. I want a beer.
Maybe if you're good after this episode, we'll get one. Just freaking smash my hand.
Now people can see that it is you making the noises. See, this is you can't lie anymore because it's all recorded.
It's a setup.
Yeah. All right. So Chernobyl Part 2.
Ouch.
Do you remember anything from Chernobyl Part 1?
Yeah. I remember the basic, like, what do you want me to recall? Like, we talked about
the vampire that was actually a giant spider, the listening array that failed. That's right.
Yeah.
And that maybe Russia actually did it on purpose.
Right. Yeah.
To cover up that big blunder.
The oopsies. Because
not only was it not working, it was broadcasting when it wasn't supposed to be broadcasting, and the whole world knew it was broadcasting.
Yeah. They're like, you said something like, hey, we don't know what you're using over there, but we can all hear it, and it's making a loud humming noise.
All right, the whole world.
Yeah.
I mean, they were picking up in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Like, with ham radios. Like, what is that?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't a secret very long. But yeah, we're going to get into some wildlife.
Ooh, you mean fauna?
Yeah, we're going to get some flora, too.
Oh, is it all going to be freaky?
Yeah, because it's in Chernobyl.
Okay.
The outlandish and exciting as such stories are, the reality is, although that there has been mutations witnessed in local wildlife in the Chernobyl region, nothing seems so far to be so spectacular as these tales. Most of these changes are mundane things such as birth defects, decreased litter and rodent populations, some health problems, but for the most part, flora and fauna in these areas are not as devastated as one might think.
Mm-hmm, okay.
There has certainly been no official reports or hard evidence of supersized monsters. In many ways, with the abundance or the absence of human activity, some species have actually been even better off after the disaster. Hmm. So I'm actually going to, this is the first picture ever for one of these episodes, and you're not going to be able to see because you maybe turned the camera.
So,
it's the Russian wild horses.
I've seen that picture before.
I showed you last week.
That's why I've seen it.
Yeah. But yeah, this is the Russian wild horses. So for the video, everybody can see it. That's actually in Chernobyl. There's a radioactive sign right in front of them. But yeah, they really don't like people, and they return to the area, and they're actually doing pretty good.
Oh, okay. The wild horses are.
Yeah.
We need to play that song. Can we overlay Susan Boyle's version of Wild Horses over that?
I don't even know the song Wild Horses.
Oh, I think it's Rolling Stones.
And why does Susan Boyle have the last name Boyle?
Does that bother you?
No, it's just because she's known for being a rough-looking lady.
With the name Boyle.
Right. No, she's having a golden voice. She's known for being like,
because
yeah. She was like a hermit, wasn't she? Like a mountain hermit?
I don't know.
She's from Scotland, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I think she lived up in the hills or the foothills in Scotland herself. The Highlands by herself. So that's kind of always the joke is she was like a mountain hermit that looked like that but had a golden voice. And
right. Yeah.
I didn't think her voice was that good personally.
Ooh, hot take. Good thing it's on Patreon.
With all of this, and then her last name's Boyle.
Yeah, on top of it.
That's just like, come on, like that's not a real person.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why Boyle, though.
I didn't know.
It's fitting.
It's not a last name.
It's the guy. God has a sense of humor.
God didn't give us last names. Man did that.
She was born into that name. She wasn't born into Susan. That was given.
In addition to the strange animal life reported from the disaster area, with so many deaths associated with the place, there are bound to be a few ghost stories as well.
Of course.
The abandoned ruins of the Chernobyl area are dripping with reports of phantoms and shadowy figures prowling the wreckage that once was there. This might come to no surprise from spooky curiosity seekers picking through the gloomy remnants of the towns here. But one very interesting report came from an actual nuclear physicist who visited the location in 1997. All right.
What did he have to say?
He's got one of these names, right?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Physicist Andre, this is his first name. I'm pretty confident in that. Kurovskiv. Andre Kurovskiv.
Okay.
Claimed to have been poking around the perimeter of the gutted remains of Reactor 4. That's what you do for fun.
Poke around the remains
of the worst nuclear disaster ever.
Yeah, a core meltdown site.
Yeah, just like, I guess if you're a physicist, like a nuclear physicist, that's, I guess,
poke around with
it. That's one of your fun things. It's like me going flipping rocks for salamanders.
Exactly, yeah. He's flipping old, what would you call, frag? Not even frag, slag. Slag, that's the word.
Slag, radioactive slag.
Looking for the equivalent to salamanders.
Mm. Looking around Reactor 4 one morning, taking radiation readings, when he had a bizarre experience he would never forget. He would say this happened. I arrived at the abandoned power station around 7:30 a.m. I proceeded directly to Reactor 4, where the explosion took place. I could not enter due to the radiation. I stood by the entrance, taking radiation and Rigetin readings. I know no one could be inside the old reactor core, but I could hear, very distinctly, hearing the sounds of someone screaming for help, shouting that there was a fire inside. I ran upstairs to tell someone, but they said that when I entered the reactor control room, I was the first person to open the door in 3 years. And the only way to get inside the old reactor is through those doors I came through. If someone had gone inside the reactor when I was not looking, they would have tripped the alarm that goes off when the reactor door is opened mechanically.
Hmm.
So the reactor door requires a password and a handprint, yet someone or something was inside. Later that evening, as we were eating dinner outside the building by the river next to the plant, the floodlights turned on in the room of the installation. There were no way for anyone to could be inside. As we ate, we watched figures that were in the power surge or something. Then, just as my colleague said that, the lights turned off. So, this is translated from Russian.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a little bit of trip-ups.
Right.
Basically, first thing is that this is like a locked kind of tube.
Yeah. There's only one way in.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's hearing a lady, presumably, just screaming bloody murder
for that
it's on fire and... She's trapped in there, and they open the door, which has an alarm and stuff on it.
Right.
So it's like they said this first time it's been open in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to open it because it's absolutely packed with radiation.
So who's that lady down there screaming?
Yeah. And then the second one was they were eating outside in one of the power installations. It's like a building.
Mm-hmm.
All the lights turn on inside it. They see figures moving in the windows, and then as they point that out, it all turns back off.
Okay.
So... We have these kind of ghost stories already. What do you think? And then I'll go into some stuff.
I mean, obviously, it's not a lady down there, you know.
You sure?
I'm willing to bet, yes. In 3 years, being locked in a radioactive vault, basically, for over 3 years, I don't think you're living, one, that long, or spend 3 years screaming for help constantly.
And there are people that live in Chernobyl, like we talked about last week.
Right. But not in the chamber 4 or whatever you said.
What if it's a parrot?
A bird?
Yeah.
Oh, like a lab parrot that just...
help!
Yeah, help. I'm starving.
Fire!
Yeah, I haven't eaten in 3 years.
Well, you're probably flying in out the top.
Oh, you think so?
Well, there's probably broken windows on, you know, extra floors and stuff like that.
So he flew inside, trapped himself, and waited for... The day that someone was coming to actually explore the place to scream for help.
It probably was screaming for help forever. Just
oh, okay.
It's just the only thing it knew.
Yeah, it's the only word it knew.
Like, well, parrots lived in their 80s.
Yeah, parrots that probably are well taken care of, that are fed.
What? These are nuclear-powered parrots.
That aren't living in a nuclear fallout.
What if it's like a super mutant parrot from like Fallout?
Oh, that guy should have probably found it and captured it.
So it flies by like flexing? Like a bodybuilder.
Okay.
You know, super mutants and Fallout. They're like the super huge, like they look like Hulks running around.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. So I can imagine.
They look like Hulks running around. That's kind of the joke.
Okay.
And so he flexes and that's how he flies.
Just that strong. Yeah. Just flexes his wings.
Doesn't flap.
Flexes.
But yeah, so, I mean, we talked about this many times before. Like, I wonder if it's... we talk about like Civil War ghosts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it was just so tragic that these are burnt in images.
That's what I would imagine.
And I kind of think that there's like radiation. There's much more connected with like the paranormal and radioactivity and stuff like that. Because quantum physics is the thing I've been trying to quote on the main show for the last couple weeks. Not subatomic physics, quantum physics.
Quantum physics, okay.
And Albert Einstein described it as spooky action observed from a distance.
Yep.
So I really think there's a lot. I think it's all will be science one day.
That's how you know, like, he was a hack. Old Albert Einstein.
Why?
Because, the stuff that doesn't make sense. It's just spooky action from a distance. Let's not even factor in any of our equations.
He didn't say that.
He did it, though. I know he didn't say it. He just did it.
No, he thought it was interesting. He just is like, it's just stuff we, at this point, we can't explain.
You know, when you're peddling fake science, it's...
What fake science did he peddle? You want to tag Albert Einstein, get into it.
Yeah, not for this show.
Yeah, because you don't really have anything.
Plenty.
Contrarian.
Plenty of things.
Contrarian.
Well, you just helped invent the...
It's funny because now I can actually see you when I mute you.
Manhattan Project.
Which he left.
After he realized they put his name on it, he's like, yeah, I'll do this for you. Just call me Carl. And they were like, no, your name's going on this. What? After he already built it. But I already built the murderous device. And they're like, well, it's too late now. Shoot. That's it. They're like, if you do this, we'll put you in every textbook, every science book for the rest of humanity. That's why, so he built it. He's like, deal.
So do you think these are actual ghosts or do you think they're burnt on images?
I think they're burnt on. If it was an actual ghost, I mean, trying to communicate with somebody, screaming help, trying to draw them in there?
Is it? Well, we didn't even get into that there's already stories of vampires and stuff like that. What if it's a mimic?
Just drawing you in?
Yeah.
Okay, I guess it could be.
I mean, that's what skinwalkers and stuff like that do in North America. You know, that's a favorite voice is a woman in danger.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times a man will just be like, oh, I got it.
Save.
It overrides.
Yeah.
Yeah, it overrides a lot of your thinking about it, you know, because you're like, oh, no, somebody's...
Instinct.
I got to go help somebody.
Yeah. That very well could be, too, because if... let's just say that meltdown weakened the veil of the void between worlds.
Which I really think they do.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we're at the end of this. We're going to compare another very nuclearly active area in North America that also is full of strange and paranormal things happening.
Point.
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
Okay.
But it's just weird that it's just like, yeah, it's like Mothman was seen at both of them.
Bum, bum, bum.
But I kind of think, I've talked about Mothman being this interdimensional raccoon kind of being.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that as in it's as intelligent as a raccoon. I mean it as in that they may be common somewhere else.
Right, 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 right.
And that they are a good pointer of when things start going, like when the veil starts getting thinner.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look around Chicago, like when we did the Chicago Mothman saga, is that was what we think was the particle accelerator is weakening the veil.
Yeah.
And you start seeing Mothman-like things. Point Pleasant, they weaken the veil. You start seeing Mothmans other things, too.
Gives you the heebie-jeebies.
And when Chernobyl blew up, because they didn't see it. They seen Mothman in the weeks before Chernobyl. And then a bunch of those helicopters were dumping water, kept saying there was a giant black bird they almost kept hitting, flying in the smoke.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the helicopter was like, yeah. It was the biggest bird ever, you know, it was just this huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was freaking out just as much as we were freaking out.
Right, yeah.
One guy called it a pterodactyl, one, you know, and described it more like like a normal Mothman.
It was clockwork from Sly Cooper.
But you imagine how scary that is? Like, you're flying a helicopter, and just, it's pure black radioactive smoke.
Yeah, and then this thing.
Well, for everybody involved, like, it's just like, you're trying, because you can't see your target, you're just trying to guess you're where dumping, you're dropping.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Ready for more?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming up to our next slide here in a minute, everyone.
Ooh, exciting.
Reports of paranormal activity are so common in Chernobyl, it's become a destination for ghost hunters. It's even appeared several times on Sci-Fi Channel's show Destination Truth, which is Josh Gates. I like Destination Truth.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know how I feel about the show as in accuracy.
Right. But it does.
But it's fun.
It's fun, and it gets the stories out there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think
it's like Mountain Monsters.
No, I think it's a little, probably, as far as factual, probably a little better than Mountain Monsters.
Okay.
And I love Mountain Monsters. Don't get me wrong. Can you remember when you first started watching Mountain Monsters and can you believe you know those guys now?
It's kind of funny.
And you're like, people, remember how mad you used to get when I'd make you watch them?
I know, I wouldn't get mad. I'm like, but I used to get frustrated. Like, I didn't understand.
Yeah. And now you're like, okay, I get it.
I get it now. Yeah. It's fun.
It's fun. You just gotta watch it as it's fun.
Yeah.
But I think Destination Truth has a lot of that because like they've done stuff with like Josh Gates has done some interesting shows that are kind of Mountain Monster-esque. I'll never forget. I think it was the Togoloshi episode they did where they actually, like, they used to do that when we were recording, like, a little being running through the woods. I'm like, oh, we almost got him.
Right, yeah.
Like, okay.
Not, yeah.
When their team went into the area wearing protective garments, they claimed to have an encounter with some bizarre phenomena in need, such as spotting multiple unidentified figures moving around the rubble, anomalous thermal images of a humanoid or humanoids entering, lurking in near the reactor 4 area, even though at the time no one else should have been there. There are even also some EVP recordings and several strange noises during their excursion. Does this place really hold so much death and suffering and still hold some spirits? So yeah, they had thermal images of what looked like humans.
Human apparition or yeah. type.
Walking entities, around, moving yeah. rubble and searching for stuff.
Wonder what that is.
Some people think it's the people that live there.
Like actual people that are still living there? Like kind of rooting around for stuff or?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one thought.
Or you saying like the people that used to live there, like
that's another
spirits.
Thought. Okay. It's ghosts that are just kind of like looking for their kids. Like let's say like.
Well, if they seen them on like a. What'd you say? Thermal image?
Thermal, yeah.
Are there thermal cameras like set up like it's not people actually holding them?
I think they were on drones.
Okay, that'd make more sense.
Like over the top.
Because I feel like if you could see them on a thermal camera, couldn't you just take the camera and move your head to the side and see what's actually
out there?
Yeah, I don't
think it was like that. I think it was like a drone thermal.
Okay, that made a lot more sense.
While on the subject of ghosts, many well mentioned the reports of actual zombies said to stalk the area of Chernobyl. Actual zombies.
Hmm. That's wonderful to hear.
Well, they had a voodoo guy move in, and he set up a witch doctor place.
No, okay.
And he started making zombies.
Stick to the real story. Yeah, okay.
You're known for lore building.
Well, we can lore build if that's what you want.
These zombies are said to prowl and attack anyone who comes to investigate the site. There's even video evidence supposedly brought forward of this happening in 2010. A video was posted on YouTube that supposedly showed a soldier being eaten and ripped apart by four zombies and a wild parts of Piretta.
You know what? I think I vaguely remember.
I have images, don't worry.
Yeah, I think I've seen this.
The video was reportedly taken by a Russian military night vision camera and immediately got people talking.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately or fortunately, the video was soon to be found as fake by most sources.
Mm-hmm.
It turns the video is actually part of the of a trailer of the 2007 video game Stalker, Shadows of Chernobyl, which is, of course, mutated zombies hunting their prey in Chernobyl.
Okay, good.
So I got to, for all the people at home, it's the next slide.
I think I do vaguely remember this when it came out, and yep, this is it. Yep.
So there's, I have it posted for everybody on the video.
And I remember it did come when it came out, it was fake. But yes, no, it does look very good, but I think it really is real. Like as far as it's real people acting out something.
But it's for a video game trailer. Several years before that was said to be even filmed in Chernobyl.
Yes. Yeah, I remember when that came out. That's pretty funny. That was a long time ago.
Because this is like four guys like hitting another guy like while he's on the ground. In thermal video, like tearing at him.
Yeah, tearing at him.
Because you can see like the guts and stuff being pulled
exactly.
out. But yeah. I think they did it with hot water balloons. So like hot water was like spewing everywhere and it looks like blood
on the... Because thermal is just black and white. It's just heat.
So it doesn't care how thick the liquid is.
No, exactly, yeah.
Tomato soup.
Ooh. Tomato soup.
While death is a common theme running through the Chernobyl area, for some that have become a symbol of life. And for the rest of the unusual group of people, eternal life.
Ooh.
According to the website Vice, in the aftermath of the disaster, a group of survivors, along with some scientists and engineers, made their way to the thin, rocky island in the southernmost point of Europe of Greece called Garvados in order to start anew and accounting for some reports of pursuing everlasting life. In addition to living a simple life on this land, the ragtag group of refugees are said to be involved with pursuing experiments and research into immortality within makeshift laboratories, as well as the use of ancient secrets, mystical practices, magical philosophies to help them along with their quest. And they have erected a temple that is said on this island called the Temple of Apollo.
Okay.
So weird, right?
Yeah, I need to look that up now just to see what it looks like.
This group ignited numerous conspiracy theories and a good amount of the mythos and speculation about their true motives, which continues to this day. Real interesting part is that far from being a bunch of loons, they count among their ranks several prominent scientists. The rumors of their activities have been so present that the Russian government has even investigated into them. On a Norwegian documentary, filmmaker, oh my gosh, Jorgos Moleskos.
Can I take a crack at that one?
No.
Because you know it's going to be 100% different.
Oh yeah, it will be. I mean, it's...
Ooh, you're letting me do it? Where are we at? Oh, never mind. I'm not
take,
even...
Take a crack at it.
Jorgos... That's what Moustakis. I said. Moustakis.
I said Jorgos, too.
Yeah, Jorgos. It's just it's a weird name.
Has studied the strange group that inhabits and said this about them. Many urban legends surround this group. Some thought they came to the island to get cured from radiation. Others say that they were spies working for the KGB or the CIA, working on top secret programs. Most of these stories are told by people who have already met them and had seen their constructions around the island. And there's no really... You can find pictures of the island itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little tiny rock out in the ocean.
Ocean or Mediterranean?
Mediterranean. It doesn't matter. But
yeah, either way.
It's a little tiny rock. I couldn't find any pictures of the actual place itself, like the Temple of Apollo they built and stuff like that.
Well, is it not the same? I found pictures of...
There is a Temple of Apollo in Greece.
Yeah, so it's not that one.
No, there's like a big Temple of Apollo in Greece.
Gotcha.
This is a recently made one.
Makes a lot
more
sense.
By the same name.
Makes a lot more sense.
That is also in an island in Greece.
Gotcha. Yeah, the one is in Delphi, I think, or however you say it.
Yeah. So nobody knows what these people are up to on the island. Are they seriously getting closer to the secret of immortality or a bunch of delusions and possibly insane cultists holding onto a feverish dream? Whatever they're up to, it's one of the weirder and more intriguing tales revolving around Chernobyl. With all the strangest, one might wonder if the alien activity connected to Chernobyl is the answer. And of course it is.
Every time.
Before we get to the aliens. So.
Wait, were you making a joke there or no?
What?
The aliens, like, if it's connected to aliens, and of course it is. Like an ancient alien joke.
Yeah, kind of.
Like, I don't know.
Could it be
ancient astronaut theorists? Or could it be aliens that did this? Ancient astronaut theorists? Believe yes, of course.
Yes, it is. No, so do you get what I just said? Like survivors from Chernobyl, a group of scientists and survivors
left
and Chernobyl, moved to this island
outside of Greece.
Yeah,
and they start building all this crazy stuff.
Yeah,
and yeah. Yes, I heard what you said. Do I get it?
It's real. Like there's people out like on this island from Chernobyl. Is it just because they moved? Is this like because everything got taken from them?
Right. I mean, people have to, if you were living there and you had to move
it's
out.
It's not a
you
great got, island to
you
live
gotta go
on.
Somewhere.
Like, I want to make it clear to everybody at home. It's not like a beautiful paradise island.
Like Hawaii or something.
It's a rock.
Yeah. But, I mean, it had to be some significance as to why they went there. Because
there's probably nobody living there. So
they were they banished there?
Yeah. Well, for radiation sickness.
Like, yeah.
Well, remember we talked about in episode one, Chernobyl AIDS.
Forgot about that, yeah.
So what if this was a part of that propaganda, sending all these people?
It could have been, yeah.
Like, go live out of here. Because there was all these high-level scientists that were involved with Chernobyl that had Chernobyl AIDS, quote-unquote, as far as the government's concerned. So is this a way to send them someplace to keep working?
Right, where they move south and people, you know, where are you guys from? Chernobyl. Oh, yeah, well, sorry, all the occupancy's full in this town, but in the next town, and then just keep bumping
Chernobyl
them down.
Chernobyl AIDS.
Until they're like, hey, you see that rock out there? Yeah, plenty of real estate.
Yeah, nobody lives out there.
Go. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't have a choice. Yeah, I don't know. Some people think they actually gained everlasting life from Chernobyl. So that's another Fallout thing that Fallout talks about with ghouls.
Okay.
So ghouls are like, the people have like leather skin and their noses fall off and stuff like that and their ears fall off.
Yeah.
But they technically don't age. They technically live forever, but they'll go feral. So you have to keep taking a compound to not go feral.
Wow.
So they keep their mind up, but once they run out of this compound.
Where is this? Where'd you learn this lore?
No, I told you, this is in Fallout.
Oh, this is Fallout lore.
The video game.
Okay.
But that was just another interesting thing.
Take
that
on it,
also
yeah.
With radiation, also with them dropping the nukes.
Where do they think of this stuff?
Well, because it's real.
Basically, that's what
But I don't know. You know, is it like, does it unlock something like that in our bodies?
That turns off the age thing?
Yeah, because there's a lot of biologists working on age because it doesn't, it's really weird in mammals.
Because it's just your cells basically just slowly degrading over time.
Yeah, but it's your DNA breaking down, but your DNA doesn't have to break because we used to think it had to break down, but animals like immortal jellyfish, axolotl, like they show that you don't have to.
Right.
So we don't know where that came from. We don't know if it's a population governor. So, because if everybody lives forever.
Yeah. You're just going to keep.
There's too many people.
You're going to run around real fast.
People starve to death. I don't know. It's like heat death of cells and stuff like that is another part of aging. Mm-hmm. So, did this turn off something? And they moved him out here to keep studying it? Because she's better. If it's happening to scientists. Let the scientists study it.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So is this like they said, is it KGB or CIA at the time?
Yeah.
Funding them, keeping these guys, you know, afloat? Because like we talked about in the first part of this episode, these episodes, a lot of these people just immediately, everybody did not care about them.
Right, yeah.
Everybody wanted them to just go die somewhere in a hole. That everybody survived Chernobyl. So why did these guys get the special treatment? Why did these guys get moved around? Because they didn't have money.
What if they were just connected, like, family or blood-wise to somebody, and they're like, all right, well, we got this little island here.
But see, they took, like, the scientists took normal people with them.
Yeah. Like their family or
no,
what?
No, just people that survived Chernobyl. Just a group of normal people, like a mixed group of people. So did they take workers?
Right, maybe.
You know, did they, like, okay, well, listen, guys, we're going to go do these experiments now that we're screwed. So let's go... You know, work on this island.
Probably doing like some rituals together and to stay alive, building these temples to
it could be
sacrifice things.
I think the Temple of Apollo is just a building that they built, and everybody that was on a boat looking it over is just like, they built a temple to the god Apollo.
Or what if it like looked like
nobody talked to these people?
What if it was a smaller model of the actual Temple of Apollo?
What if they just built a house out of stone because the only thing on this island is stone?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, it's a Temple of Apollo. And the scientists are like, no, that's the bathroom. There's just rocks here. We don't got a lot of options. Everybody, I should have put the picture up. I'll show you a picture of the island.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not very big.
There's just, those are bushes, not trees.
Yeah.
There's no trees.
No, not at all.
There's one beach. The rest of it's cliff, and it's the beach they all landed on.
Nice.
So I'm just saying, there's not like... It's not a great place.
I wouldn't mind moving there, to be honest.
It's not like the Bahamas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's no paradise.
But I'm sure the fishing's good around it.
Exactly. Exactly. It looks pretty cozy.
Cozy.
Yeah.
Everybody dying of radiation poisoning around you.
Well, yeah. And you can find comfort in that.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like, you know what? We're all dying together.
I hope that gets auto-generated into a clip.
But at least the fishing's good. The friends are good. And we're all in this predicament together. It's something to bond over, you know? And when humans bond, it's a special feeling.
We're idiots.
It's a special feeling. So, you know, it's something to bond over.
All right. There have been quite a lot of conspiracies centered around the involvement of supposed extraterrestrial entities with the Chernobyl disaster. Which postulates that these forces interacted to lessen the ultimate impact of the calamity. So they think the aliens got involved. Some people think it was...
To make it not as bad?
Yeah, that it would have been a lot worse. And there was this whole strain in the 60s, 70s, and 80s of aliens and nuclear power plants and nuclear reactors and bomb sites and stuff like that. We've talked about with some of the mushroom stuff that I think it was because some of these flying fungus wanted to eat them. Mm. It was a food source. And I really think that's interesting now that the MonsterVerse Godzilla, you heard that too?
Yeah.
Okay.
MonsterVerse Godzilla.
There was a lot of connection with that a lot of the Titans, they can biologically eat.
Okay.
But they also, that's how they got so big, and that's why they're smaller now, because there's fossils of like Titans that are much bigger than anything alive in the MonsterVerse today.
Oh.
Because the radiation on Earth has gone way down. So they're relying much more on their biological systems of eating rather than just background radiation absorption.
Making them huge?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because like in the new one, spoilers, Kong is walking over the skeleton of one as a bridge. Kong's 360 feet tall.
Right, yeah.
And these ribs are, you know, 700 feet tall.
Right, exactly. So they're gigantic. Yeah. It's always a bigger fish.
Yeah. But, you know, they're fossil, you know, they're bone, they're ancient.
Right, at this point, yeah.
So I kind of wonder if there's something with that, with these things, is that... another way they can feed is off of radiation.
Yeah.
So, because they're living above the protective layer, the ozone layer, where radiation is much more abundant.
Mm-hmm.
But these are like nuclear reactors. These warheads are like supercharged dinners.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
So
it's like a hungry man meal.
And even if they can't eat it, like, yeah. Keep in mind if they can probably, it's hard to explain. There's ways of viewing radiation, like thermal imaging. So they probably can see in that spectrum in a way.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's probably like a big blinding light.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, what, you know, what is it? What is it?
It could be like a smell kind of thing too.
Yeah. Like, so it's a new sense that we don't have. So it's like impossible to explain.
Like when you're sitting in the living room and someone's in the kitchen making like cinnamon rolls here.
Yeah. Oh. There we go.
Ooh. And you get up and start looking for it. And then you finally find it in the kitchen. You pop up in the oven and shove your head in there. And then.
Delicious.
Delicious.
Atlas is in the other room just screaming. Not in anger, just making
noises.
In the days leading up to the explosion of the nuclear power plant, there were several sightings of UFOs in the vicinity, including groups of eyewitnesses who claimed the mysterious object in the sky above the area for a full 6 hours, just staring at them.
That's not
very Point Pleasanty.
Mm.
Was it just a UFO hovering? Everybody, like, literally, they talked about this UFO being like people looking at it. Okay, and then they left. They got bored.
Yeah,
watching a giant UFO floating
in the sky.
One of the UFO witnesses, Morkem Vrostak, would say this at the sighting: "I and other people from the team went to the site of the blast at night. We saw a ball of fire. It was slowly flying in the sky. I think the ball was 6 or 8 meters in diameter. Then we saw two rays of crimson light stretching towards the fourth unit, which is that tower 4.
Okay.
The object was of some 300 meters from the reactor. The event lasted for 3 minutes. The lights of the object went out and it flew away in the northwesterly direction."
Okay.
So, once again, translated from Russian.
Right, yeah. You shouldn't have me do the next translation. I'll just read it in a Russian accent. Yeah. Burning ball in sky.
That's Russian accent, not translated in Russian.
That's translated from Russian.
The ongoing speculation among UFO enthusiasts is that these forces are seeking to contain and displace the damage of this disaster to even avoid a full nuclear blast, which is made from all evidence, considering that many of them have come to the conclusion that catastrophe could have and perhaps very well should have been much, much worse.
Mm.
And that a lot of people really do believe that. It
should have been worse than it was.
Chernobyl is kind of weird because how small it actually was.
Yeah.
It should have been, for a full-on blow-up like that,
yeah,
much, much worse.
Hmm. Interesting.
Some witnesses have claimed that they've seen mysterious undefined objects in the sky immediately preceding the disaster. One was Jerry Washington, had explained that other rather credible professors saw weird things in the sky, saying this: "I offer this
explanation?
Yes. From Dr. Vladimir V. Rustov. Lectures are published in the MUFON 1994 Symposium Proceeding. About 1 month before the Chernobyl disaster, I had talked to the air traffic controller in the Kyiv airport. He told me that, according to the pilot's reports, there was a rising number of UFOs observed in the area in the Chernobyl nuclear power station. Later, it became known that the night of the fire in the Chernobyl nuclear power station, some 3 hours after the explosion, a team of nuclear specialists saw in the sky over the station a fiery ball of colors of brass. The witness estimated the diameter was 68 meters, and its distance from the burning nuclear reactor number 4 was some 300 meters.
Mm.
Just before the observation, the specialist measured the levels of radiation in the places where they were standing. It was measuring at 3,000 microgens per hour. Suddenly, two bright rays of crimson color extended from the ball reactor that lasted throughout 3 minutes. The rays abruptly faded, and the ball slowly floated away in the northwesterly direction towards a Barathus. Then again, they took a radiation monitor, and the display was only 800 microgens per hour.
So it went down?
Yeah, it was like it absorbed a whole bunch of the radiation, then left.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So, like, literally, like I just said, whether you want to think it was intelligent or not, this beam of light, this beam or this thing of light came in, flashed these two long beams, these rays or tentacles.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Absorbed a whole bunch of the radiation and then left.
Hmm.
So you could go that was the intelligent beings piloted, whatever.
Right.
And absorbed radiation to help save more lives.
Or
you go organic UFO, literally the Godzilla style of like absorbing radiation to feed.
Yeah.
And it just sumped it all up like a big sponge.
The crazy thing is this happened.
It happened. No, I want to make that very clear. This is recorded. This happened.
So where do you... Because if it happens, okay, so if it happened, it's real. Like, it's measurable. It's tangible evidence.
This happened. There's scientific measurings that happened during this event.
So explaining it, it's mind-blowing.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
I'm trying to, like, even just wrap... Just to try to make a logical, practical case as to why and how.
Yeah, so many nuclear physicists thought this reaction should have been much worse.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing going critical like this, there shouldn't have been survivors, let alone, you know, people in Sweden probably should have died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there were survivals from...
Don't say that.
Well, I'm just saying that's how bad it should have been.
Yeah. You're that pair, you're lucky.
But people that were living a few miles away lived.
Live still. And I'm stumbling over my words, though, trying to think of the right thing to say. But it's trying to just put it in perspective that this happened.
This UFO came in. All the scientists recorded the radiation. I think it's microgens is how you say the actual radiation.
I think you're right, yeah. That sounds right.
But yeah. And this was seen, several pilots said they kept coming back. So if you want to go the organic route, it could have been several different animals coming in and feeding.
Right.
You know, from the upper atmosphere coming down to just suck up the radiation.
Right.
If you want to go the intelligent route, they're just saving people. And, that, you know, they probably, if it was actual full technology, it probably had limits of how much radiation it could sump up.
Right.
So that's why they couldn't get it down to zero, obviously. And it's constant. The reaction's still producing radiation.
Yeah, it's still pumping it out. So
just taking it down to not be critically lethal levels, you know, 100 miles away.
Man, wonder if, let's say it is an organic creature that did this. Is it solely for the purpose of feeding? Or is it watching over?
No, it just was feeding.
What if it is a mushroom or organic UFO? What if they're the ones controlling swaths of human population to do their bidding to, you know, to make their environment?
I don't think they care.
And then this happens, and they're like, oh no, like this is going to result in my death. Let's just absorb this.
Result in their death? No, they were eating it.
No. As far as the humans around that support their lifestyle or something. I'm saying these atmospheric creatures are using us humans.
I don't think so. I think that it was
to maintain their lifestyle.
I think it was just like, hey, somebody opened up an all-night buffet down there.
Or that too, yeah. Maybe I'm getting too much intelligence credit.
They may be very well intelligent. I just don't think they care.
Like they're not relying on us? It's not us.
They definitely are not relying on us because they've been here much longer than we have in big numbers.
Oh, yeah. But maybe it's because of us they got so big.
No.
Like size-wise, not number-wise.
But yeah, so it went from 3,000 microgens an hour. Suddenly the two bright rays of crimson color extended from the ball to the reactor. So some people say it touched the reactor. Some people say it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like these two crimson rays. I don't know. Like I don't. There's no good pictures, drawings of this.
It's red. I just picture red beams.
Tentacles.
Oh yeah.
And then literally, like basically, think of like the rods absorb, like lead rods absorb radiation.
Right.
So if you have some biological equivalent, you could absorb this radiation very quickly.
Okay.
And then it pulled the tentacles back up and then took off.
Man, it's so weird.
Or it was aliens, or there's a whole thing where we talked about with Point Pleasant that maybe it was just byproducts. Like, oh, we talked about with Hiroshima and Nagasaki too, the evil bombs.
Seeing the guy that saw
the living fire and stuff like that. Yeah. That's kind of what this is described as too. You could kind of read into it as being a different color, but living fire, like it's moving around. It seems like it's intelligent, but it's like on fire.
Right. Yeah.
So is that just reaction with any time a nuclear you know, a nuclear explosion of that size,
yeah,
quality goes off? Is that, are you seeing the stuff that's out of our visible light spectrum that's always here? Because that's the thing that people don't get either, and we'll do an episode on that one day. And we see a little less than 5% of the visible light spectrum, or of the light spectrum. The visible light spectrum is very tiny. There are 100% things that are outside of the visible light spectrum. And I always equivalent it to, like, if you trip on something that's not there, it could, I'm not joking, it could actually be something that's outside of the visible light spectrum. We don't know to look for it. Not saying it's not detectable.
Right.
But if you don't see anything of
it's how to detect.
We didn't know radiation was a real thing until Madame Curie started getting bone cancer.
Yeah.
And they didn't take it seriously. Like, they were like, I may be remembering this wrong. I believe the first time, like, how they caught radiation was really like, kind of like a piece of paper. And they had radioactive material on the paper, and you could see it, like, almost like it was burning these spots of this paper from the radioactive particles jumping off.
Gotcha.
And, like, oh, there's, you know, this is what radiation
there's
is.
Something, yeah.
Madame Curie was wearing a ring with the stuff
on it, popping off all the time.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, she died, you know. A lot of bone cancer.
That's probably from something else, though.
Yeah, not the highly radioactive material she was adorning herself with.
So it was a diet choice.
Yeah, because she was eating. She actually had a spoon made of radium.
She shouldn't ate it.
No, she shouldn't have been using the spoon, yeah.
Oh, no, she's biting off little chunks of it.
Yeah, that'd be bad, too.
Yeah, that's what she was
just
doing.
Just fall out right out of your stomach. It'd probably just keep going.
Right out of your belly button.
Mm-hmm. No, so, yeah.
Ew.
Interesting. So, I'll keep reading. Where was I? Okay, where was I? When the deadly disaster actually hit, there were other reports of the teams that have claimed these mysterious forces were in the midst of toning down the effects, creating incredible drops in the amount of radiation released and the overall curbing the negative effects. There have been plenty of people who have claimed that the radiation levels were nowhere near as devastating as they should have been. So is there anything to it? Did the visitors step in the major crisis? And it's weird because there's a lot of this talk with aliens and in radioactivity.
Mm-hmm.
So did they, like, so let's say aliens are real, like, as in true definition of aliens from another planet,
mm-hmm,
are real. Some people think that, like, life is decently rare in the universe. Planets that support life are decently rare.
Right. It takes the perfect conditions and in the golden zone. And
yeah, but there is, you know, the universe is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
So there are plenty of planets out there, but there's very, very big spaces in between them.
Right.
So if there's a council of intelligent life out there, there's, like, rules. You know, they want to protect planets that support life and support their own biomes.
Okay.
But it's also, you can't fully come and take control. Like, if you're, we've talked about in the show, if there's an actual race out there that gets that advanced, they're one of two ways. They're either all all peaceful beings because they've gotten past every trial and tribulation.
Right.
So they don't need anything.
Or
so
they're,
the exploration is their goal.
Exactly, yep.
Or they're like locust.
They just...
Where they have to consume destroy. To keep moving.
Yeah.
They're planet-hopping locusts.
They win by force.
Well, they have... like, and they may not even be intelligent. They may actually be like giant swarms of insects.
Right, yeah.
Where, you know, they just consume all the resources just to make it to the next planet.
Yep.
You know, they get stuck in this loop.
Just to... so they can produce more eggs and hatch new drones.
In my opinion, for a species to visit us from another planet, that's the two types that there would be.
So would you say the grays are...
They're not from another planet.
Well, if they were.
They'd probably...
If they were a real alien.
If they were real aliens, they'd be the intelligent type.
You think so?
Yeah. Because they haven't eaten us all.
They try.
But I'm saying, like, no, if it was, like... They'd be here and wipe us out very quickly.
They eat our brain waves.
No, I'm talking, like, there was one of these videos, like, History did a documentary on it, or alien encounters, like what would happen the first 48 or something like that. Literally one of them was what I'm talking about in these giant cubes. They literally just start sweeping up all the trees to make biofuel.
Yeah. Oh, like, they stole it from Spaceballs.
Did they? Trees?
Kind of.
But these giant cubes, literally, like, people are firing nukes at them, nothing's happening, and they're literally just scooping up all the organic soils and trees and making biofuel. So literally humans and animals and, like,
everything is
getting eaten up.
Yeah.
And there's just nothing anybody could do about it.
Yeah.
That's what would happen for that race. Because they don't care. They have to, you either have to just not care about anything else to survive.
See, you got to build some thermal detonators and you throw them in the sky when they suck them up.
For this, that would mean, like, that's maybe why they care about nukes so much. because it causes irreversible damage. It may be causing stuff outside of, like we talked about, visible light, outside of our understanding of what we have in our biome. There are probably extra dimensions to our living space that we are affecting that we may not understand.
What if the Earth truly is alive and it's a live organism? And
I think it is in a way.
And this is one of its white blood cells, basically.
Well, see, if it was that, I think it would just kill us.
Well, it can't do that because it needs us.
It does. The Earth, I want to make that very clear. The Earth does not need us. We need the Earth. And I think humans have forgotten that.
Well, no. It needs our relationship with it.
Does not.
Yeah, that's how God intended.
Yeah.
See? So it's a relationship that needs to coexist. And when we screw it up, the Earth corrects it.
What do you think about aliens saving us from nukes? Because like I said, tons of people actually recorded this phenomena.
Right. I don't think it's that. I don't think it is. I don't know why.
I don't think it is either. I'm just saying, I could see the organic UFOs.
That I believe more. If it's an alien, then I think there's a lot of dark forces, around the world and have like quote unquote alien beings that work for them and do a lot of heinous, awful things. Do I think there's a flip side of that where there's beings that are also powerful, they're doing good? Yeah, I think that's possible.
There has to be.
There has to be, yeah. So could this be an example of that? Maybe, perhaps. And then maybe the good...
Actual angels?
Kind of, yeah.
No, that is my thought in my head. Actual angel, like...
Same difference, yeah.
Just taking the radiation down. Like, you can't... It's like a kid. You can't get rid of their mistakes, but you don't want the whole world to pay for it.
Right, exactly, yeah. And I think if the whole world gets infected... Yeah, I mean, you screw everything up.
I mean, there's a reason we stopped using nukes. I mean, technically we still make nukes and we still have them, but nobody's used one in a long time. Even nuclear testing has kind of stopped. I think once that manhole cover hit that alien planet.
yeah.
I just seen somebody post a meme actually on our page on the Chris Acorn meme page.
With the manhole cover?
Yeah, it's like you're an alien, just a budding alien civilization. You look up in the sky and there's a glowing light. Your scientists realize it's a manhole cover from a far-off planet coming to wipe out your population. And just hits the planet, and everybody dies. It's like the meteor for the dinosaurs.
Yeah, it was us. A manhole cover. That's insane. Launch into space.
Fastest man-made object ever.
That's impressive.
There was a trivia thing with that, and I got in a fight about it.
Ooh. What was the question?
We were up at Ronald McDonald, because it was a jet was the fastest man-made object ever was their answer. I'm like, that's not true.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, it is. It goes 3,000 miles per hour or whatever. I'm like, nope, there's a manhole cover currently going 14,000 miles per hour.
Maybe a...
passing Pluto.
Maybe an object, a pilotable object.
But that's not how the question was worded.
Right, yeah.
A manhole cover, man-made object. The speed was man-made.
And so was the object.
Huh. It's currently, I think it's like, I can't even remember how far out in space it is. It's out there. Imagine if you're an alien, you get to the edge of the solar system, and as you pull up, a manhole cover just passes you.
Flies by it, yeah.
It's like we're in the ghetto.
Technically, wouldn't this be the fastest man-made object? You ready? Wouldn't it be? It's my voice, made by man, and it just got heard halfway around the world.
No.
Like that.
That's not as fast.
I don't know.
I still got to edit it and stuff like that. So by the time it's all done, it'll be actually 3 weeks to be heard around the world.
But by the time they hear it, it's like instant.
But it's not.
It is.
From start to finish, it's not.
So you're the contrarian. You're the contrarian in the whole...
So...
No, aliens, no. Good aliens, maybe.
Made a lot of connections with Point Pleasant.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I really think it's a very similar area. Like we talked about Stranger Things-esque.
What if at the end of the day, it really was like a Stranger Things experiment that went haywire and
we talked about that last episode, that there is some, there's a lot of evidence today there was a giant lab underneath.
And they just dropped a bomb on the whole thing to stop it.
Or it happened on accident.
Yeah, or the accident, yeah.
They were literally using the power plant to power the experiments down below.
And then it happened.
But
I can almost more see it like, because, they had to do that cover, if that, the one object, the thing they built that, was sending the signals around the world, we talked last episode, beginning of this one. that's a good excuse to make a cover story, you know, for something like that. But what if even that and it's that in itself was used as this cover story for the real cover story is they were doing these interdimensional experiments. It went crazy. Some giant creature came through, so they dropped a nuclear bomb on it to destroy it all. And they're like, okay, let's just say it was a meltdown.
Well, it could be the failsafe. And another thing I thought of was what if the array that was making all the noise?
Was that creature?
No.
Oh.
Was so you couldn't hear the radio waves coming out of the portals or whatever they were making.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big mask.
Yeah, like a scrambling unit or whatever.
Basically, because it was just, you know, it was being louder than everything else on the planet. So it was covering up whatever they were doing down there.
Yeah, whatever actual experiments they were pulling out of.
I mean, think about Point Pleasant, aliens, Men in Black, which I didn't even get into the Men in Black. There were some people said the Smiling Man was there also. Ooh. Andrew Cold-esque beings were also at Point Pleasant, or not Point Pleasant, Chernobyl before the reactor went off.
What if it's these beings that are the ones that are like running things?
They could be, and I don't know if they're
like you know, world government, all that stuff.
Point Pleasant. We talked about that a lot, that I don't think that they are truly running things. I think that they have their agendas, and they're quite powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at it, like Point Pleasant, the U.S. government was chasing these beings constantly.
Right.
So they, from what it seems, is they were not working in tandem.
No, right.
But these beings were doing nefarious things, and the U.S. government was either trying to stop them, catch them, do something.
Well, what
I'm
if-
not saying the U.S. government's good.
But, right.
You know, they were in competition.
I think there's some, you know, I think there's people in the government that are good, you know, want to do good things, but I think the compromising on the whole, you know, the government's, the people at the top are compromised. But what if they're, you know, they're compromised by this weird group, the Andrew Cold type people group that can do, that have like advanced tech and all that and is doing all this crazy stuff. And then, but, like how government does, it's compartmentalized. Only the people at the top truly know. So anyone down, they don't know. And they're just like, oh, no, we got to defend our country from these things. But these things are the ones running everything anyways. I don't know. Just a thought. What are these beings? What are these smiling men in spaceships?
See, I kind of wonder if they're – and we talked about this Point Pleasant a long time ago – that they live these other sides. And they want to come through, but they're trying to get these doorways bigger.
Right.
So that's like Point Pleasant. Or they feed off these radiations. You know, what if they're just extra-dimensional beings that feed off radiation like parasites? Like they're the things that live in the wounds.
Right, yeah.
So they just happen to have a face that looks like ours. So if you are a festering thing, you want more wounds.
A festering wound?
Yeah. Like if these holes we're making are wounds in reality.
Right.
They are literally like bleeding wounds, like stuff's leaking out. You know, that's how we get the Mothman's, you know, the UFOs and stuff like
that. Right, yeah.
They're just things from somewhere else. They're not good, bad, and different. They're just things.
They just exist.
Like we talked about, grizzly bears aren't good or evil. They'll eat you, but they're not doing it because they're evil. They're doing it because it's a bear. And that's what
some
they
are evil, though.
Not grizzlies.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
When that you see that polar bear running at you from 2.5 miles away on the white ice sheet, and you know there's...
He's evil.
Absolutely nothing you can do.
Yeah. That's bad. It's so scary. It's nightmare fuel.
Get your fist. What you should do is run at the bear. If you're trapped in the ice sheet with the bear, just run at the bear.
It's throw it.
You may have a chance where it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's not happened before.
Yeah, you might. Because
that's how hungry it is.
If you let it come to you, you're going to die.
You're going to die. It's a polar bear.
Was that a video? Did we see that or we talk about it? About like these two people were caught in like an ice sheet and they seen a bear like on another ice sheet and it just looks at them. And it comes walking, jumps in the water.
Yeah, no, that was a video. They were trapped.
And starts swimming towards him. Man, that's like a nightmare.
Well, yeah,
it jumps up on like a closer ice block.
And it keeps popping up.
Yeah.
Its head keeps popping up.
Closer and closer before it comes up and climbs on their ice block.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was...
A video of a tiger doing that too. Pulling guys out of a boat, running, killing them on shore, going back and grabbing another guy.
Good Lord.
They just keep hitting it with sticks.
Yeah. That's all you can
Anyways,
do.
Anyways, back to this.
Okay.
So, I mean, I really don't know. I really think that, because I think there's some stuff of this is Hiroshima and Nagasaki too. Some similarities.
Yeah.
Where once you drop these nukes, I think these nukes are strong enough to either punch holes.
Break the veil.
I don't know if it's temporary. I don't know if it's, because like, look at Point Pleasant. It died down. Like, there's nothing there now, in my opinion. Like, maybe like the normal Appalachian stuff.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, there's the black men in black suits aren't running around with Mothman and
no.
The Braxies and the Grafton monsters. Like,
that's all gone.
And I wonder if it's because these scars heal over time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what happened. You know, for a very short period of time in West Virginia, definitely Point Pleasant, but West Virginia and the Ohio Basin as a whole.
It has a lot. Yeah, a lot. Gobs.
Boom in these weird monsters from the, you know, the Octoman, the Grafton, the, you know, and same with Point Pleasant, not Point Pleasant, Chernobyl. After it, you know, had this boom of zombies and giant spiders and vampire, you know.
Just crazy stuff.
And the Mothman-like beings and UFOs, and then it died back down. And there's still stuff there, but because it happened more recently.
Right, yeah.
But it's definitely gone down. And is it because there's just less people there? Or is it because this wound is closing up?
Or they're better at controlling the phenomena that created it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know. So what's your opinions on Chernobyl?
I think it's weird. I think it's worthy of a new investigation. Investigate Chernobyl. We should do it.
I'm not going.
Call to arms. Not we, as in you and me, but like we as human society. Let's figure out what happened, what really went on there, so it never happens again. And
if the reactor blew up,
we can expose these entities.
Why?
What do they power. Do us?
Let them be.
No, I mean, they're controlling human life. They're making a mockery of.
I can't wait for the
God's
real aliens to get here. It'd be like, we're here to take over, and all these people are gonna be like, yeah, thank you.
I mean, if they're actually real, it'd probably be helpful.
I think it's like, you know, they pull out their gun or whatever, and they're like, you know, we're here to take over your planet. Like, yeah, go ahead, we'll help.
Start
you.
Start there.
Yeah, we'll help you. Yeah, we'll show you where all the leaders live, and
man,
we'll help you pull them out and beat them.
Would it be better, though? I don't know. I don't know if it would be or not. They'd just probably be worse leaders, too.
I don't know.
Oh, these are your most powerful people? Okay, whoop, whoop, dead. Oh, now you've got no one to defend you?
That doesn't matter. Thank you. We weren't going to win anyway.
I know.
I think people highly, like, Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
I think, come on, a computer virus off a floppy disk defeated a giant alien ship.
It's a way to do it.
Like,
that's propaganda. That's trying to say, like, technology is your friend. Technology is good. Floppy disks. They were slanting the seeds. It's pre-programming. It's how Hollywood works.
I mean, floppy disk. Never mind.
What?
It's just like, it's barely above a rock.
But back then, when it came out, that was like the bee's mm-hmm. knees. Mm-hmm. There's slow drip in it. It's slow drip technology.
Slow drip technology. I have been the great and powerful Mr. E.
And I've been Jay.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thank you for listening to Cribs of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jay clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.